Hello and welcome to the LRN podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. So the weather's well and truly taken a turn, hasn't it? Bad things are happening out there.
Yeah, Leicestershire, Lincolnshire, probably the worst flooded areas in the UK right now.
Yeah, we've got flooding around here, and up north the snow is everywhere. There is all the snow.
All the snow and no idea.
Well, in some cases, yeah. But yeah, the floods have really taken hold here. It's bad news for people travelling by any type of vehicle, and unfortunately a lot of people having problems with where their homes are. So hopefully not too many of our listeners have been affected. Hopefully not too many people in general have been affected. But you found quite an interesting hidden function with your Land Rover, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't so much a hidden function. So yesterday my wife Louise decides to rather than take the daily, she says, I'm taking a Land Rover to work, because she works in the county of Rutland, near Oakham.
Oldest county in the UK.
Yeah.
And the last county to get a McDonald's.
Yeah. There's more interesting facts about Oakham area than that.
No, there isn't.
Sorry. There was uproar about McDonald's, you know.
I bet there was. I bet the local people were very upset.
Yeah. Apparently, it would take all the trade from the town, but massive queues at McDonald's. Anyway. That's a point for another day.
We digress.
Trust you to talk about food.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so she decides to take the Land Rover to work. So, £25.90. But you'd think getting back from work would be really, really easy. But it wasn't.
Right.
Because of the floods.
Sure.
She leaves work at 5 p.m. and it's a 40-minute journey home. And she goes across country. But where there was some flooding, although she would be able to get through it, there were police stopping people going through it.
Right.
So they say, divert another way. So she goes a different way, travels another 20 minutes in the wrong direction, only to meet another police officer blocking the road yet again. Some more flooding. She didn't think she would get home. By which time I knew she was running late to be home.
Sure.
So I go on the tracker. So I've got a tracker on my Land Rover.
Yeah, it's the Terra Firma one, isn't it?
Yeah, Proac Track. So it's really, really handy. So I knew she'd left work 10 minutes early because my phone vibrated to tell me the Land Rover had filed into life. Quite a handy thing to spy on your wife or whatever, but sounds a bit dodgy. And anyway, I look on the tracker, realise she's driving in the wrong direction, but I thought, oh, I know which way she must be going because I can see where she is in the world. Single track country roads. But then I've checked again 20 minutes later and she's back along the same road going the opposite direction.
Oh, right.
So she's lost.
Right.
So I give her a quick ring. She can barely hear me. I'm on a loudspeaker.
That's unusual in a Land Rover.
Yeah. And she's like at the point of crying because she's like, I'm lost. I've got no idea how to get home. So because of the tracker's ability to see where the Land Rover is, I guided her home.
That's really cool.
Because you're on single track country roads in the middle of the dark and there's flooding.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's a bit, and it's raining and you misted up a little bit. It's not pleasant.
It's not what you
it's
need.
It's not an easy drive.
No.
Anyway, I got it home because of the tracker.
So did the map, you used the map on your phone and then kept an eye on the app as well and was able to steer her through that?
Yeah, well, you can use the tracker app map. As navigation, anyway.
Oh, right, okay.
Because she tried to get home with her sat-nav on her phone, and it kept telling her to go one way or another, but that doesn't take into account that the police have blocked the road.
No, I suppose it wouldn't.
And the police quite openly said, you will get through that flood, no bother in that, but we can't allow you through because you're flooding people's houses.
Yeah.
And so the damage to people's property. Obviously, we would toe the line and follow the thing, but there was no way home. There was nearly no way home.
That's awful, isn't it?
So despite having a Land Rover, it didn't really help.
No, and it seems to be something that people often forget. It's all well and good. Yeah, you can wade a lot deeper than other cars, but you shouldn't always, because you're putting other people's property at risk and often other vehicles. My father-in-law actually had his car written off by a Ranger coming the other way, way too fast, and the bow wave just... He was maintaining good speed and like was keeping the engine bay clear of water.
Of course, yeah.
Someone came the other way in a pickup too fast and, yeah, water over the bonnet and hydraulic the engine, which was obviously bad.
Well, on the news not a few months ago when there was the last spate of flooding, that tractor that drove through that town, that small town, quite fast.
Right.
Do you remember? And I think he went to court because of it. because it was driving without due kind of attention, because the bow wave this massive four-wheel drive tractor made, it pushed windows out.
Wow.
The flooding's bad enough.
I hadn't heard of that.
But it pushed all the windows out in the shops and the little houses, cottages and things.
I'll have to look.
But yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
And just people like, yeah, all right, it's sometimes fun to make a splash, but you've got to just be a bit more considerate.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's I mean, you see them every year, don't you, the viral videos of people like driving various 4x4s with water like halfway up the windscreen and pouring in through the heat events and that. And, you know, it's all good fun and cool.
Yeah, mate, it's good content, but you're the one that's going to have to put...
You've got to have a bit of consideration for other people. But talking of viral videos...
Yeah, I think you're going to talk about the same video I may have seen yesterday.
I don't think we can ignore the... The snow and ice has obviously played havoc with roads all over the place, but it has made people jump in their 4x4s and go, do you know what? Let's go off and do a bit of laning. And that's fine. But obviously, you've got to be extra careful and ideally communicate from vehicle to vehicle, just like the people in that video that's all over Facebook didn't when they had like an 11-car pile-up on a green lane.
One after the other crashed into the back. They couldn't claim on the insurance, could they? Well, technically they could. But the insurance claim is going to be a nightmare.
Well, the small print, unless you've got a policy that specifically covers green laning, I doubt you would get a claim.
Yeah, so one car's gone into the back of another, and then there's a concertina effect, isn't it?
Yeah, reading the comments, I think one vehicle was stuck or couldn't move, and then another one went down a hill. Obviously, ice and a lot of ice and snow.
Yeah.
Just went over the brow of the hill and slithered right down to the bottom and hit the one that was stopped, and then it just carried on from there. But yeah, it's all...
So why did the people at the top not just stop and think that's not working?
I don't know. Maybe they... I'd like...
So car number one and car number two, you'd imagine that they'd be like, oh, that went wrong.
Yeah.
Car number three, you could probably excuse that one. Oh, Christ. Four, five, six, seven, eight. Nine. Well, that's not going well. Let's all do it.
For a start, responsible green laning hat on. There should have only been maximum of six vehicles in that convoy anyway, and there was tons more than six. I think there was 11 or something.
Yeah, 11 or 12, I think, yeah.
Again, it's easy for us to sit here and judge because we weren't there. We don't know exactly what happened, but you'd think, yeah, again, extra careful, yeah. Ice and snow, communication and whatever. But
just be mindful about the images.
Well, it's
bad taste. You know, there's people losing their houses because they're floods. Snow is preventing people, emergency services, etc. And you're potentially putting a strain on it by going laning. It's a bit of a grey area. I personally wouldn't go.
Yeah, it's difficult because I've been green laning in the snow before, and it's great fun. It gives it a whole other dimension and a completely different element, and it is brilliant. It's great, but you've just got to be like, without sounding boring, you have got to be super, super careful.
Yeah,
and yeah, unfortunately now nothing can happen without someone whipping a phone out and recording it and putting it on the internet. And that is exactly what the antis who want to see every green lane in the country closed, they rub their hands together because they just go, look at this, you know, the irresponsible actions of a few people.
And not, and this is something else I thought. So there's lots of broken glass.
Yeah.
All in the snow, it's gone.
Until
that melts, there's going to be glass everywhere.
Yeah.
Are they going to go back and clean this up? Do you see what I mean?
I completely agree.
You know, Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough doom and gloom. Let's have a listener's question.
We've had a few, haven't we?
We have had a few, yeah.
So we'll read some out.
It's been busy. The first one.
Far away.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Always ready for listeners' questions. We love getting them.
Thomas Heath has got in touch. He says, hello, gents. Here's a question for you that's been on my mind for a while. As we all know, you can pretty much get any custom or replacement part for any series or Defender under the sun. The aftermarket is huge. Now, more recently, parts for other models have come to market as these models have increased in value. For instance, 3-door classic Range Rover. And he also goes on to say, I'm not counting mechanical parts, which are shared across platforms, rather things like interior, body panels, upgrades. Here is the question. In your opinion, do you think this trend will continue and we'll be seeing more aftermarket parts for even more up-and-coming classic Land Rovers, or is the market just not enough to justify manufacturers developing and putting them on sale? Given that the market, for example, P P-38 interior parts will never match that of Defenders. As another example, will we someday see nice new interior bits for original Discovery, so 200 series J's. One can only hope. Love the podcast, keep it up. I'm currently itching to get to work on my own Project J Discovery, but it's tucked away for the winter, so no work before spring. I have, however, noticed a correlation between minutes listened to the podcast and money spent on new bits. Must be a coincidence. Yeah, sorry about that, Thomas.
Yeah, I can see that. Is that every time I leave here, I think, well, what can I do next?
I know.
What can I spend money on next? Yeah, so things like that Condral interior for early Discoveries.
Yes.
You see, if somebody remanufactured it, does it not take away the kind of like how special an original one is?
Okay. Yeah.
So the fact that someone has hunted high and low and gotten a immaculate new old stock potentially, or restored one.
Yeah.
Or one that's perfect or that had been cleaned, whatever. If you just remanufacture it, then it's kind of lost its how special it is, I think.
That's a really, really interesting point, to be fair.
Otherwise, it's open checkbook and anyone can just go and do it.
One thing we've noticed, certainly at Newbury and possibly our other spares events, although not quite as obvious maybe, is as soon as the gates open on Sunday morning, you get certain people going around the whole spares day looking for certain bits.
Yes.
And those Discovery interior parts are becoming really, really hot property. People scan the whole event and buy up whatever they can get.
Of course, yeah.
And that's because they are mostly either, you know, all the backing comes away from the blue covering and they look saggy and horrible and whatever. They're in demand and they command reasonable money. As far as remanufacturing them, I actually think in the next few years, someone will start remanufacturing them. For Discovery, I think that's happened.
But where do they get the material from? Because I've spoken to people before and they just can't get that material.
They're, with modern fabrics and technologies, I'm sure someone will come up with something that's almost as good. They're doing like...
I get you.
Like Tom said, they're doing the Palomino, Exmoor Trim are doing the Palomino bits for early classic and the kick car seat. So it must be doable. And I think demand will continue to increase for early Discovery stuff because they have really become iconic in their own way.
They have, but I just don't know whether there are enough people to make it viable for somebody to, you know, cost.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we spoke earlier, didn't we? So I said about that lower dash panel that I may or may not need.
Yes.
For my project, because I'm starting to gather, we'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah.
The price on some of that stuff now, I mean, it was throwaway a few years ago, and all of a sudden now you're talking £250 for something that 10 years ago would have been thrown away.
The last Defender dashboard I bought would have been about five or six years ago, and I got a complete dash, top and bottom, and all the bits for £80.
Yeah.
Now,
no.
Forget it.
More like £800.
I know of people that have bought entire takeoff Defender bulkheads just for the dashboard.
We shouldn't probably tell people this, because if anyone's got one, they're only worth £50. Email editorial at lrm.co.uk.
If you've got a Defender lower dash panel for sale and you'd like to sell it at a healthy premium,
and let us be first to say, no, we don't want it.
Yeah.
No, it's within reason, you know.
Bits
are only worth what someone's prepared to pay. And quite rightly, like, it's Thomas, wasn't it? P-38 may never reach that. But then said that about Discovery.
Do you know what I think?
And three-door Range Rovers when they've been bobtailed and ripped around pay-and-play sites.
Yeah.
And now they're being restored, so...
P-38s are a funny one, I think, because they haven't quite... Well, they haven't reached the level of desirability as the early Discoveries. There's a lot of surviving P-38s because they didn't rust as badly. The really desirable P-38s are the limited editions and like the 4.6 HSE, the top spec one,
yeah,
which don't share a lot of interior pieces with the lesser models. So I don't know about that market. It's a really, really interesting sort of thing to study.
You see, what fuels classic car purchasing, whether it be Land Rover or other makes and models,
yeah,
is the car that you may have missed out on in your youth, or your dad had, or your grandparents had. And as the next generations go on, so the next generation to us, there's simply not many car people about that don't have that vested interest in a car. We've said about this before, haven't we? Where, you know, buy a car on PCP, chop it in, they haven't got that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So the future doesn't look that rosy, I don't think. People.
I think we're lucky because Land Rovers have such a huge widespread following and a widespread appeal. And I think whilst people, yeah, they do buy cars in a different way now, that love for older stuff is still there. And I don't see that waning. What we were chatting about the other day, actually, about the sort of generation who bought things like really old stuff, like Series 1s and that new, I think there's enough drive from the younger generation to get into them. Do you see what I mean?
It's there is in Land Rover. I mean, look at the cover story in the current issue. Two Defender 90s, two completely different reasons to own it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two completely different uses.
Well,
it's the same vehicle, essentially.
It is, yeah. Same base, isn't it?
Same base.
But as to use an example again that we chatted about, MGBs, the MGB market, the chrome bumper MGBs, when people were falling over themselves to spend loads of money on owning one of them.
Treating themselves to a sports car.
The younger, there are younger people out there who like them, but they would probably choose something that they really wanted growing up over something older like an MGB.
See, I know a MG specialist.
Right.
And he said that in the last couple of years, it's fallen off a cliff.
Really?
But because he's got like a garage with them lined up outside, he sells them. And he said they don't want the. He said all us old boys. I mean, he's probably in his 70s.
Right.
Said we've either had one, got one, don't want one.
Yeah.
And he said they don't come. He said if I had a line of MX5s out there, sell them all day long.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be messing around with something. They just want to drive and. Soft top, whatever, they just want to drive around a summer car or sports car.
I think the generation who are coming into that, even I could possibly be bold and say my generation and also slight younger people.
Oh, not me.
No, you're well old. are coming into that who grew up playing Gran Turismo on PlayStation and want like...
Yeah, we didn't have that in my day.
Exactly. Yeah, you had like a ball and a stick.
We didn't have PlayStation. PlayStations were not a thing.
I know that. But
yeah.
Want those iconic cars from them. You've only got to look at the price of Japanese stuff. Skylines, Supras, anything, RX-7s, anything of that genre.
Even a Toyota Starlet, rear-wheel drive thing.
The early Starlets,
and
the Glanzers, the imports, they've absolutely rocketed in value because everyone of the age who wanted one back then, who was playing, you know, racing their mates on the PlayStation, has gone, actually, I could own one of them for real. And now...
That's your new, yeah.
But the reassuring thing is, especially, well, in across the board, really, is they're never making any more of them.
No.
The number that exists now... dubious activity aside, is only ever going to go down, which makes them more desirable, which makes them worth more. So from that perspective, Land Rovers are really healthy. They're in a great place.
Oh, they are. They are. I just think that, you know, if you were looking at a classic car with an original Conrail interior versus a reproduction.
Yes.
See what I mean? The value, it just, I don't know.
But again, it depends what you want. Because
it does smell right, doesn't it, in the interior? You know when you open the door of an old British car, they've got that smell.
Yeah.
You can't replicate that.
But then if you take that theory and you apply it to a Series or a Defender, are people as bothered? You get in a Defender, like a, I don't know, a mid-90s Defender, and it's got a whole new interior. Are you put off by that? Are you going, oh, I wish that this still had, like, worn-out techno cloth in it?
Slightly. What's wrong with techno cloth?
That was a bad example because I didn't fit that till later, but...
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I know what you mean. It's commonplace, though, isn't it? There's no such thing as a standard Defender.
No, that's true. Panels, though, Thomas, I think
yes,
certainly panels will get reproduced.
But they're easier. Now, we've spoken about this, I know, because I've had two or three people phone me up that want inner wheel arches for Discovery 2s.
Yes.
So as we know, Discovery 2s are kind of like, well, their prices are increasing, aren't they? Because people, the last of the kind of...
the B-Max old
proper thing, really, that people can work on at home. But two or three manufacturers say there's still not enough demand to get the tooling to remake that panel yet.
Yeah, that's true. It's got to be a viable business thing, hasn't it?
But there's still enough people making the repairing Discovery 1s.
Well, they do Freelander 2 arch panels now and Resil panels, which I would argue are probably... there's probably more Freelander 2s about now than Discovery 2s. Well, there will be.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, on the road, you've seen them.
If there was demand for them, there'd be demand for Discovery 2. Maybe it's the shape of the panel that makes it difficult and more expensive to...
Yeah.
There you go.
But I do think if someone wants to make certain things like Discovery 2, I think there would be a market for it.
I do, yeah, definitely. In fact, the number of Discovery 2s now that, that come up for sale, a lot of them are sort of spares or repairs, so they either need welding or they need other mechanical stuff looking at, but they're like 03, 04 plate, sometimes like a Landmark or a Pursuit with the big roof bars. They're really, really desirable and they get snapped up in no time at all.
That's like a 20, 21 year old car.
I know.
Now, I still think it's new in my mind. That's a fairly new vehicle, but it's not.
Yeah, it's crazy. I got a load of brochures, Discovery 2 brochures from the dealer years ago when I was a kid. We went in there for some reason. I don't know why, but I ended up coming away with a load of Discovery 2 brochures and Freelander brochures, I think, and I still got them somewhere. But it's just like the options you could have and how cool and how, like, I don't know, the to me, the branding on in that era, sort of early to mid 2000s, was so cool.
Yeah it was.
But anyway,
have you answered this question? I think we have.
I think so. We've probably been around the houses a few times, but we
went down the Japanese car route a second ago.
Oh no, sorry about that. Anyway, right, Jack Watson, aka Boris the Defender, has been in touch.
Oh, Jack.
We like Jack, don't we? We do. He says, "Hi guys, really enjoying the podcast. I have to say I'm late to the party, but I've listened to about 10 in the last month already." Nice. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, cheers.
Went back and... he says, "So I'm now listening to the New Year's podcast and you were talking about plans for this year. For me, after last year's bulkhead swap, this year brings slightly earlier chassis swap than previously thought. I'm going for a Richard chassis and Broad Lane Land Rovers are helping me do the work." Very cool.
Very good.
You'll have a Land Rover to last forever then. Galvanised chassis and bulkhead.
Jack uses his Land Rover. He's all over the place.
He does, yeah. He does. He was actually on the cover, wasn't he? March 23 issue, I think that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
yeah, cracking build.
It's lovely.
Yeah, often that comes without mate Chris, ORE.
Yes, yeah, and, he's on the ORE stand, isn't he?
Yeah, just got a lot of stuff on his car.
He says, "I'm really excited to get going with it, but I thought there'd be a great discussion at point of the preparation and planning you need to do when going into the swap. There's no guide for the parts you need to swap alongside the chassis, as it's up to the owner. But it would be great to discuss with your listeners what they have done when it comes to the swap, outside the usual bushes, bolts, fuel tank, and so on. And someone should make a guide for what fasteners you need as a full kit." It's a great idea. Same for the bulkhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, "Loving the episodes while working in the garage, mainly making things worse on Boris." I'm sure that isn't the case, Jack. Boris is cool as, and we like Boris.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool motor.
I think it's one of those where you're probably... I mean, we should put a guide together, and that's actually a brilliant idea for a future issue of Land Rover Monthly.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I would imagine Broad Lane and any other Land Rover specialist that's quite well versed in doing chassis changes will be able to give you a fairly good sort of general idea of what to change. Obviously, Land Rovers differ model to model.
They do. As we know, so if a vehicle needs a bulkhead, it's had a bulkhead, and now needs a chassis, the chances are, by the time you've taken the body off, the rear tub off that chassis, some of the rear tub would have disintegrated.
Yes.
So, contact YRM Metal Solutions.
Well, they do.
And get ready to buy some of the repair bits.
I had the front and rear tub rails from YRM, and they were brilliant for the tub that I fitted on my Series 3. Because, like you just said, the aluminium tub or alloy tub and the steel chassis tabs react.
And they're two dissimilar metals. That steel wins, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's the aluminium.
The alloy just dissolves and then it's no good. And you don't want to be fitting a tub with no mounting points to a brand new chassis. When you do put it back together, the best thing you can do is fit some of the gasket material that separates the two, because then that won't reoccur. Other than that, you're really looking at sort of screw kits for floor panels, and it all depends as well how far down you're stripping the body.
Of course, you could, in a garage or a lift, you could lift the whole thing off, couldn't you?
If you've got the luxury of a two-poster and you know, wooden blocks and things like that, you can literally lift them off in one with the wings still attached and everything. If you're doing it at home, there's a lot more stripping down, as you'll have seen from my Series 3 re-chassis job in the mag and on YouTube. But yeah, things like, I mean, I've gone along the way and I've tried to keep on top of ordering stuff like floor fixings and the little stud plate that holds the sill rail in. And you soon build up a sort of list of basically anything that connects the two and connects the panels together, you're at least going to want to consider replacing.
Yes, definitely. A guide wouldn't go amiss.
No, I'll definitely put some thought into that.
Because actually, if he was doing it at home, it'd be a whole different story than a professional garage. Like Broad Lane, we've featured some of their stuff in the mag before.
Yeah, they're known for their TD5 Range Rover Classics, aren't they?
Yeah, that's been in the mag.
Yeah, really cool.
And their sister company, Southwest Rustproofing, who did the dinner roll treatment on my TD5.
Oh, of course.
So that's their sister company on the same industrial estate.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
same people.
So good people to work with. They'll know what they're doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. But yeah, I'll have to put some thought into that, and perhaps a guide would be a really good thing for people to have on in the mag, on paper, good old paper, so you can refer to it when you need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good
stuff. The Ultimate Re-Chassis Guide by Martin Dominey. There you go.
It's got such a ring to it.
Yeah. Good job, I'm not in charge of cover lines and quotes.
Well, what else have you been up to then?
Well, I'm really fired up, right? So, New Year, and we did some filming, didn't we?
Yes, indeed.
On New Year's Eve.
Now live on YouTube.
Live on YouTube is my abandoned project. So anyone that's listened to this podcast that we talk about, you joke with me every week, don't you? I'll get it in there first.
To be fair, I'm going to have to cut down on it now, because actually you are going to pull your finger out and actually do something.
Yeah, and the reason, so we filmed, didn't we, where we're at, where it needs to be. So anyone that wants to check out Land Rover Month on YouTube, you can see me rabbit on for a quarter of an hour about my project.
Then we stand and have a little chat, don't we?
And that's all look at it.
Yeah, we got sort of assess the situation and take stock, don't we?
It's quite depressing, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not. It's not. It's quite positive. I know I've got a lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
And some expenditure.
Yeah.
But I've got a plan. And I spent Sunday, it was snowing actually at home and raining and horrible weather, but I spent the day tinkering about, opening boxes and pots of nuts and bolts and just seeing what I've got.
Yeah, that's the way
forward. And getting organised.
Yeah.
And forming a list.
It's quite daunting, obviously, because of the sheer number of parts, but also when you lay it out logically and think about it, it's, you know, it's far from impossible.
No, it's not impossible. Not with your help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really, really good. I'm fired up. I needed to get obsessed about it, and I'm going to be. That project is going to be a lot further ahead this time next year.
Good stuff.
Don't think it'll be finished.
Next year?
In the whole year.
Depends how much you dedicate to it and how, like, painting and stuff like that always holds things up.
It does, and I think I need to get some quotes on paint, but
yeah.
I might get it done properly.
Yeah, I would.
Because ultimately,
it's going to be done to a high standard, so you're worth getting stuff sprayed properly.
You see, what doesn't help me is when I go and see people like Turners Off Road, and I go and see the sort of vehicles that they're building.
Yes,
and a recent cover car, Carly's one.
Oh, YRM, the purple
Purple double cab. When you see the quality of what's gone into that, or you see one of the cover cars in the flesh that's on the current issue of the magazine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, when you see that and you think,
I know.
How do you build that? Well, time, money and skill.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited that you're excited about it, and I think we'll power on and make a lot of progress this year.
And we'll document it in the mag and on YouTube.
That might be the perfect thing to base the chassis swap guide on.
Yeah, don't listen to me, listen to you. Basically, I made the mistake, as I've said, of taking too much to bits in one go.
And then, yeah.
And then
ignoring it
for, ignoring it for yeah. 3 or 4 years. And then trying to pick up the pieces and then work out that, yeah, every single thing that's been taken off has to be restored or replaced.
Yeah.
Repainted or whatever. Yeah, a lot of work. But no, I've got a plan and I've got a list of, so some of the parts, I ordered some parts, right? And then you put them in a box. So I've gone through, done like a bit of a stock check.
Yeah.
Nuts, bolts, washers.
Did you find yourself finding something and going, what the hell is that? And then Googling the part number?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
So what I've done, as I've written 2 pages out of all the part numbers and then Googled what they all are. So now I know I don't have to duplicate anything. I don't have to order it again. We've got much in stock, but it, bits and pieces.
Odds start, and ends. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Do you know what I've been up to?
No.
I, on Saturday, went to visit my friend who owns a Discovery 3 and his other half has got a Freelander 2. And I did some work on both of those vehicles and it was really nice because it was like, basically,
the old
like,
days.
The vehicles I cut my teeth on and it was like, I really enjoyed getting stuck back into them.
What did you have to do to them?
So the Discovery 3 had a really weird fault where it would sometimes start first turning the key.
Yeah.
And other times it would start, drive absolutely fine, and then he'd switch it off and it would crank. It would crank over fine, but it wouldn't start. If you left the ignition on for like a minute or two, it would make a really odd noise from somewhere, then it would start. It was a
mobilizer?
No, it was a really weird fault. And to be honest, I was a bit nervous about going to look at it because I was sort of,
it sounds hopeful. Deep.
Yeah.
It sounds like, oof.
Discovery 3 is not the simplest thing electronically in the world, but I was keen and I was excited to go and check it out. And I did a lot of checks. I checked the earths under the bonnet and the big earth strap that goes from the engine to the chassis, which is often corrodes and falls to bits and causes all sorts of problems. I had the battery out, checked all the connections on the engine and transfer box ECUs. There was a little bit of corrosion on the transfer box ECU plug, which is really common because people pressure wash under the bonnet and all the water goes in the back. And eventually, after checking all the fuses and things like that, I had him turn the key while I listened carefully to all the fuses and the main ignition relay. Sorry, listen to the relays, not the fuses. The main ignition relay was intermittently not working.
Oh, okay.
So you'd flick the key on and the glow plug light would flash on for like half a second and then go out. And I thought that was odd. I thought that was potentially a separate problem. But I checked for fuel pressure because they've got a little Schrader valve at the back of the engine for on the fuel pipe that comes up to the injection pump. And when it was in that faulting state, there was no fuel pressure either. So it was like, well, it was a cold day. It was like 0 degrees. I was thinking it was going to struggle to start with no glow plugs and it's definitely not going to start.
Yeah, they won't start. Just, I had that issue.
Yeah, they
the electronics say no.
The glow plugs are fairly useless at the best of times. Yeah. But if they're not getting any power, then they're definitely useless. But yeah, this weird glow plug light coincided with the lack of fuel pressure. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, hang on. So swapped the main ignition relay with one that wasn't doing anything. And it's been perfect since.
Amazing.
So it was sort of like, I don't really like scattergunning and sort of trying lots of different things, but it sort of became, you build up a picture. When you go to look at a car and you've only got someone's description of what's gone wrong, you have to kind of
Is
get your head round
their interpretation of what's gone wrong in the order in which it's happening or the noise it's make. It's making a donk noise. All right. Well, is it a donk or a clunk? Well,
yeah. Well,
that sounds like you go into their interpretation of the noise.
Yeah.
Isn't what it actually is.
And it's not like my friend's, you know, he's fairly mechanically minded, but he felt he was a bit out of his depth for the discovery. And to be honest, for the first sort of hour, I was thinking, oh God, I've completely sort of lost it. But then as you build up that picture and as you link certain symptoms to other symptoms, everything sort of comes together. And as soon as we switched that relay, the glow plug light came on, stayed on for a few seconds as it should, went off. The fuel pump, you could hear the pump in the tank running.
Yeah, yeah.
It, amazing. It was getting good fuel pressure up the top and it started every single time. So something simple.
Yeah. I wonder what that would have cost if it had gone to like a specialist.
Funny story. He rang up 3 or 4 specialists around our local area and they didn't want to touch it.
What? They just said, no, it's not for us.
They either said, we won't take it on, or they said, we can only we'll book you in, but you're looking at 2 months because they were so busy, or it was like a low priority job for them. So he must have been really desperate when he messaged me and asked me to come back.
I ring my mate Martin, see what happens. You see, not to take something on, they must think, oh, what a headache.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, the relay was, it took a bit of time to get to it, but if it had been, you know, a garage is only as good as the people working there. Like, main dealers get a lot of stick off people on the internet. All they do is service all day and use the computer to plug stuff in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, clean.
That isn't the case. You've only got 3 or 4 good diagnostic technicians. You've got a couple that do servicing and then maybe one who does sales work all day, every day, for whatever reason. But to tar everyone with the same brush is really unfair. But yeah, a lot of these garages, they want work that's going to earn them money.
And yeah, don't want a car stuck in their yard.
Exactly. You know, I'm
scratching heads.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but garages who just deal with sort of local work, do brakes, exhausts, servicing, batteries, whatever, that's their bread and butter. They earn good money off that. They don't want a flipping 20-year-old Discovery 3 in their yard for months and months and months because they haven't got the time to diagnose it.
And the other thing is, right, so if they spent 5, 6, 7 hours trying to diagnose a fault, still couldn't find it,
yeah,
can they pass that time?
Not all of it, no.
No, because if they were like, let's say they're, what would they be, 60, 70, 80 pounds an hour?
I haven't got a clue these days, to be honest.
Got to be 60, 70 pounds an hour. Well, that's a lot of money built up for something that you're still not, here's your bill for 420 quid, but we haven't fixed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see why you wouldn't want to take it on.
Yeah, I can as well, but, you know, in this case, I was happy to spend my Saturday morning.
Well, as your mate, like you say.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, it was quite a bit fun.
The fact you're going, mates, is, you know, I couldn't believe it. And he said,
I was just pleased to have the Saturday morning free when you weren't asking me to do something, to be fair. The Freelander 2 was a nice fix as well.
Yeah.
The Freelander 2 was good. So that's his other half's car. And she said that when you stopped after a drive, the heat events would blow what smelled like smoke into the cab, which is obviously not ideal. And all that was the intake pipe along the back of the engine where it joins onto the hard plastic duct that goes down to the turbo. There's a breather pipe on there that goes into. It's really, really common on Freelander 2.
So it was engine fumes essentially coming in.
Yeah, so the oil leaks out of this join between the two pipes and then goes down the back of the engine onto everything that's hot. And then the oil fumes go into the cab. So you just take the pipe off, clean it right up, put a bit of sealant on there and jam it back together.
That's uncle.
So it's quite a satisfying sale.
Yeah, well, it was actually. Yeah,
it was really good.
It helped people out. Their car's now running perfectly.
Yeah, I was happy to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was cold, but it wasn't a horrible, grimy, like, job. It was nice. It was good to sort of get your head back into stuff like that.
Good.
So there you go. Just thought I'd rabbit on about that for a bit. So are you ready for feature of the week?
I think I am.
Are you? You sound so excited about it.
I'm ready. Feature of the week.
Oh, hang on. I've just...
Got yourself mixed up there because you were going to do products of the week.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. This week's feature of the week is a rather lovely... Actually, this ties in well with what we were saying earlier about reproduction bits for desirable cars that are getting older. Range Rover CSK. Are you familiar with the CSK?
Yes, I am.
The CSK is a Range Rover that you should be familiar with.
They used to be cheap as chips, you know.
Really?
Well, not cheap as chips, but they were...
You should have bought reach. All of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, but it's like anything, isn't it?
Yeah. The Range Rover CSK is a limited edition Range Rover, two-door, finished in black with chrome bumpers, and it was launched to commemorate 20 years of Range Rover. And it's named after Charles Spencer King. And what a thing of beauty it is too. So this particular vehicle has been fully restored. And as you can see.
Yeah, it's cracking, isn't it?
Some stunning photos. Lovely bit of some press photos
here. History, yeah.
From Gary. The interior. Look at the leather on. Look at that. Look at the finish on those seats. I can smell it from here.
That smells lovely, even though it's a picture.
I know. Some photos you can smell, and this is one that I'm all too happy to smell. So, yeah, really, really cool look into the background of the CSK, along with drool-worthy pictures of this particular incredibly desirable Range Rover.
I didn't even know that CSK stood for Charles Spencer King.
Did you not?
No.
We need to read this feature.
I know. I'm going to straight after this podcast.
Oh, you should. If you were to choose one Range Rover Classic, I think it would be difficult to.
Yeah, they are nice. I do like them. I liked them back in the day when they were commonplace. Not commonplace, but they were. I can't remember how cheap they were, but they weren't that dear compared to what they are now.
No, I suppose. Like anything, they're only a very, very limited number vehicle. And what was cool about these is you get them in manual as well as automatic. 3.9 manual two-door.
Really nice.
The stuff of dreams. Mm. But yeah, this is a...
That definitely is feature of the week.
Yeah. Number 74, this vehicle is.
So last week's feature of the week is in the same issue of the magazine. So even more reason to go and buy the magazine, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you haven't already, run out. Don't walk, run to your local...
If you run, you might slip ice.
Oh yeah, do be careful with running. And get yourself a copy of the February issue of Land Rover Monthly, because it is packed with great Land Rover stuff. Would you like to see product of the week?
Yes, I do.
You could do with some of these, Steve. Actually, you've already got...
Funny story. I have one. I can't find the other.
Rear quarter end panels for your Land Rover Defender or Series tub.
Yes, I need one.
Now available from yrm.co.uk. Sorry, yrmit.co.uk. £63 a side. They're the bits that always corrode at the bottom where they attach to the chassis, as we've said.
Oh, but it'll be a cross member, isn't it? And they get thrown away.
The dissimilar metals have a fight and the alloy loses. They're the models suitable for twin rear lights. So your pair of lights at the top rather than one at the top, one at the bottom. There you go. So you can go on a YRM it and buy one of them to replace the one that you've somehow mislaid.
I've got to work out whether my lights are at the top and the bottom. I think they're at the top and the bottom, aren't they? On mine?
I can't remember.
But they have DN panels for both styles anyway, don't they?
I would have to check.
I think they do.
But they're for both the lights at the top.
Yes.
And not a horrendous repair, especially if the tub is still on Land Rover, because it keeps everything square.
Yeah, mine is not.
No.
But more on that in the future, because... Plans are afoot.
Plans are afoot, as we've already said. You've got the ball rolling already, haven't you?
I'm on it like a car bonnet.
There's no stop.
Talk about the bonnet. I only need to drift out.
Have you got a bonnet?
Yeah.
Is it in good condition?
Yes.
Is it?
But what I will do, the aluminium, you've got the steel frame, haven't you, on the bonnet?
And yes.
You've got the aluminium. The steel is rust coming through.
Right.
You could drill the rivets out, get that galvanised, or... sandblasted and painted, riveted back on, and then...
Right, okay.
Or you sand the bonnet down so you're not... You know when you DA sand paint?
Yeah.
You can often sand the top of the rivets down, can't you, by accident?
Yes.
So it makes it difficult. So you do the DA sanding, then you'd rivet it.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I mean?
Got you.
Yeah. But anyway, that's another job for another day. But yeah, I'm on it.
So this was an interesting one. We put up... This was actually what got me starting to think about this subject was a couple of issues ago. We had a Discovery 3 in the mag that had done nearly 1 million miles. You remember that?
Might even be on 1 million now.
It's probably rolled over, yeah. So, but this basically, most people were quite like, oh, well, that's really cool, imagine that and whatever. And quite a few people commented on the post saying, oh, it's Trigger's Broom. That's Trigger's Broom. That is Trigger's Broom. It wasn't, because you read the feature and it tells you that it wasn't. But Trigger's Broom is, in case you haven't, you're maybe unfamiliar with the saying Trigger's Broom. So Trigger is a character in Only Fools and Horses, a classic sitcom.
Yeah, 1980s, early 90s sitcom in the UK.
And he's chatting, it Trigger's sort of like this quite simple guy, isn't he? And he's
people call me Trigger.
Do they? Oh, well,
I don't really.
Maybe they should.
Yeah.
Anyway. he's talking to the main character, isn't he? Dell. And he's describing his broom that he uses.
He's a road sweeper.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is my broom. I've had it years. It's had 14 new handles and 3 new heads or whatever.
Or the other way around, whatever, yeah.
I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, essentially he says it's still his broom, even though it's made up completely of new parts.
Because he had a picture of it, didn't he? And they're like, or something, in a photo to prove it.
Yeah.
A photo to prove it. Well, is it the same bloody brick?
Exactly.
Yes, I've got pictures of brick there.
You get the idea. What a classic. I love Only Fools and Horses. When does a Land Rover become Trigger's broom? Because so many of them are.
Yes, it's a really grey area. So if a Land Rover like mine is 40 years old,
yeah,
right, and over the first 10 years it's had a new wing or a new door,
yeah,
then 5 more years later it's had something else and something else, and over a period of time it's everything, parts been changed,
yeah,
or you do it all at once.
I think it's an important
case of, is it time based
mm.
or is it condition based?
We're going to do a proper deep dive on this when we've sat down and had an afternoon researching the ins and outs of the legalities and things like that. But yeah, because Land Rovers are inherently interchangeable, all the bits are replaceable. Like, we're blessed with that amazing aftermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still keeping it going and keeping it going and keeping it going. But at some point, depending on how you're using it and how old it is, very little of it will be left original, because it makes more sense to replace the bits.
Because everything wears out and it's cheaper to replace than restore.
And more sensible in a lot of
and
cases.
And safer, yeah.
So like yours, disc rear axle, 300 TDI engine. I mean, at the moment, a lot of the other stuff is still
original. There's the turbo wings and the... Yeah, yeah.
But this will be, an interesting subject to cover in depth, but I thought I'd bring it up now so people can get thinking. And if you've got an opinion on when the Land Rover does become Trigger's Broom, drop us an email. Editorial, almost forgot what the email was then.
Yeah.
Editorial, do you know why? Because I was thinking of Trigger in the pub talking about his broom.
Yeah.
Editorial at lrm.co.uk. And also, yeah, go on YouTube and type in Trigger's Broom and you'll be blessed.
Just watch the sketch.
A hilarious,
yeah, really quite funny
clip. And yeah, it does describe a lot of things very well.
Molly on YouTube, checking out Trigger's Broom. Check out Land Rover Monthly if you haven't done already.
Yeah, we've picked up a good number of subscribers in the last month.
Yeah,
And you could be one of them if you're not already. So go on and click subscribe,
because many more videos will be coming very soon.
Indeed, yes, we're beavering away getting them done.
You've got another one to edit, haven't you?
I've got more than one to edit. They're stacking up now.
Yeah, part 3 and part 4 of your 109.
Yeah,
re-chassis.
Don't tell anyone. Is actually finished and driving.
Yeah, I know. Everyone knows that you have to do things in the...
Yeah, you've got to follow it and document it.
But there are many people out there that want to see.
Yeah.
The next installment.
Somewhere. We will, very soon. Yeah. It will come out in order with the magazine. So buy the mag and you can refer to the video and go, oh yeah, look, they're doing that. If you so desire. There you go. Yeah. And also keep an eye on our socials, because we've been quite... working quite hard at putting up cool stuff on there, including some little tasters and teasers of that CSK story. So be sure to check that out. Meanwhile, you're very busy getting ready for our first event of the year.
I was just going to say, actually, so we've mentioned this in our New Year's Day podcast, so planning your 2025 year, 2nd of February, which is Sunday, at the Three Counties Showground in Malvern.
Yep.
We've got the first of many shows this year, which is the Land Rover 4x4 and Vintage Spares Day. But not only that, we've got a third hall this year, and it's the British Restoration Hall. So in there, we've got some great stuff. including some club displays. So when I say clubs, I mean like classic Land Rover clubs, Series 1, Series 2, Range Rover Register are coming. But if you're not just into Land Rovers and you're into tractors, they've got the Ferguson Club, the Case IH Club, David Brown Parts. Yeah, bit of tractor love. We've got Mini Cooper Register coming with some minis.
Awesome.
Triumph TR Register.
This is exciting.
Our friends at Boom Racing, so if you're RC cars, they're bringing half a dozen of their finest,
incredible,
like real
scale, realistic scale real models, scale Land Rovers. It's going to be.
They're going to let me and you have a drive of them.
Are they?
Yeah. So they're going to demonstrate, like, and show people what can be built from their kits. LRM are there, obviously, us as some magazines. You can, if you haven't subscribed, got a subs offer on.
Indeed.
Loads of other things going on in that hall. So some of the trade that are there, so some of the new parts people.
Yes. Yes.
You know, hall, the other halls and all outside with all their
tons of auto jumble. You'll be there looking for a lower dashboard.
I'll be looking for a lot more than that, because by that time, I hopefully will have a shopping list. So I plan on doing, like, no work that day. I'm just shopping, so it's out normal then. I come to work every day and plan not to do any work. Well, I have to, unfortunately.
Well, no, it'll be an awesome event, though.
That is shaping up to be a really, really lovely event. So save money by booking online. That's what I will add. And it does get you in quick. You don't have to queue to pay to get in.
Yeah.
You save money and you'll speed through
the gate.
The scan is
like a flash.
And you're in.
Beat everyone else to the bargains.
But that's going
to
be, do you know what? I'm really excited. Because I've always wanted a British Restoration-y type event.
Well, it's just...
And it's the perfect venue.
It's like an added bonus, isn't it? Like, you're getting all the amazing range and the huge number of sellers doing auto jumble, which is the main reason people go to this event. But you're also getting, for no extra cost...
Brand new tool traders.
Loads of other great stuff in the new hall.
Yeah. And it's their brand new hall, so it's only recently been finished, the Kildare Hall. Millions of pounds worth of investment in the hall.
Yeah.
But it's just a nice addition.
Come and see us. It's going to be great.
And I'll be there.
Yeah.
If anything to put you off, I'll be there. Hey. Are you going?
Well.
And you see, you double book things, like family.
I have a family event happening.
Yeah.
We can't really talk about it on here, but we'll see. I'd like to be there, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Take that as a it's difficult, isn't it? As
talk about putting me on the spot, Steve.
Yeah, well, I can edit this bit out of the podcast if you want, Martin.
We won't, I'll leave it in. But no, if you do, I'm going to send Steve on his way with a load of LRM podcast stickers as well. So if you do hear him, and hopefully, like I say, I do hope to be there, come and grab a podcast sticker and tag us when you stick it on your vehicle, and we'll put it on our social.
That'd be nice to see, actually, a few people tagging us with the sticker on their vehicle.
I did really well at giving stickers out when I first got the stickers, and then it sort of dwindled a bit, and I was getting quite a lot of people tag us in stories and posts.
Do you know what, right? I'm going to lead by example.
Go on.
You know, I haven't got a podcast sticker on my Land Rover.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I haven't done it.
I thought we were friends.
I know. I've got one in the bag, and I have never put it on the car.
Well, crack on, Steve.
But I will do
spread
it.
The good word of
and
the
then
podcast.
I'll put it on my Instagram to prove it.
Oh, I hate to be that guy, but also I shared a post about the podcast on a few Land Rover groups on Facebook, and it seems like people who might not have been aware of it are now aware of it. If you've got friends who you think might like it, please do tell them about the podcast, because, you know, we love doing it, and a lot of the feedback we get is good, and the questions we love getting. We want to build it if we can.
Yeah, and building the numbers, it proves to our boss that we're actually working now, not having a jolly.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You know, because he needs to see growth. And it is growing.
It definitely is.
I'm really, really, really pleased. And we know the reason why we talk about Any Fools and Horses and explaining what it is because we know there's a lot of listeners out there that aren't in the UK.
They're definitely, yeah. There's loads.
So lots and lots of people outside of the UK that may not be familiar. So
not just America and Australia either, Japan.
Loads.
All over Europe. Yeah,
Argentina, there was something.
Yeah, Argentina. Yeah, it's exciting. And we love doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Share.
We want some more questions.
Like, subscribe, and comment, folks.
Oh, you influencer. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, send us questions as well. Also, we mentioned the last one. We're going to possibly do YouTube lives as well in the evening, so you can chat and have a word here and stuff like that. So
did we mention that last week?
Yes.
Was that a great? Did we say it on the podcast?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Get in touch if you think that's a good idea, and if you
another one thinks it's a good idea.
If you've got far better things to be doing with your evening, then don't get in touch, and we probably won't bother.
Why don't we just do it anyway and see if anyone joins?
Could do, yeah.
Actually, right.
People are busy. They've got stuff planning. They've got stuff to do. They've got Land Rovers.
But they will.
Adventures to go on. Parts to buy. People to see.
Yeah. A life to lead.
A life to... Anyway, we should probably call this one a day, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I've had too much hot chocolate.
Steve's all hopped up on caffeine, so we're going to call this one. Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget to leave us a little rating, if you don't mind, on your preferred streaming platform. Maybe a little review if you're feeling really excited. And we'll catch you on the next one.
We'll see you soon.